Just taking a moment to be present here and recollect why we're here, what our wishes are. You know, our personal baby steps we need, you know, to take, just our immediate changes that we'd like to see in our lives to make us more helpful to others. And ultimately, being able to healthfully and deeply cherish others spontaneously from the heart. And understanding that that is the means for attaining enlightenment, where we can be of really great benefit to others. Like looking at the Dalai Lama and his influence on the planet, just one person. Very amazing, you know. Thinking, may I be able to truly help others? Not only, I mean, it's good to help others with the temporal sufferings, as most everyone in here in this room does, but ultimately to relieve them from the great cause of suffering, which is grasping an inherent existence. Of course, first we have to do that ourselves. And so we continue to test Buddha's promise, Buddha's hypothesis, that these methods will take us there, and having the examples of our teachers that we gives us the faith that it works. So we take refuge and generate bodhicitta, and we'll do the mandal offering and the praise to Mother Prajaparamita and a bit of Shakyamuni Sutra. In the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, until enlightened I seek refuge, through giving and other perfections, to aid all may I become Buddha. In the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, until enlightened I seek refuge, through giving and other perfections, to aid all may I become Buddha. In the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, until enlightened I seek refuge, through giving and other perfections, to aid all may I become Buddha. So taking refuge in the visualization of the Buddha Shakyamuni, and in his heart is the Mother Prajaparamita. Feeling the blessings pouring into our body, filling us with light and ease, peace, a warm feeling of affection for ourselves and all beings. And then from our heart, offering everything in the universe and just first, and then after that, all the things that people, places, things, activities to which we are, you know, attached or have aversion for, or jealous of, or ignorance. So first we offer all the beautiful things, and then we offer our inner minds that don't lead to happiness for ourselves or others. Whoa, the ground is blessed with sand and with flowers strewn, adorned with Mount Meru, the four lands, sun and moon, transformed as a pure land, and offered may all wandering beings enjoy this Buddha land. All those objects of my mind's three poisons, coveted, friend, foe, and stranger, body, wealth, worldly pleasures, without a feeling of loss, I surrender, receive them. From their bondage. Idam Guru Radna Mandala Kam Niryatayami. Also recollecting that to myself and what I'm offering, and the act of offering, also, there's no inherent existence in any of it. Just merely appearing on the basis of my mind and my wishes. And then making requests from the heart to realize emptiness to the Mother Prajnaparamita. As we recite this, we can imagine that the white nectars and rays are coming from her heart, and she's looking at us, you know, so affectionately, like a mother with her newborn child. Beyond speech, thought, expression, wisdom gone beyond, unborn, unceasing, with the very nature like space, discerning transcendent wisdom's sphere of awareness. Homage to the Mother of Three Times Buddhas. And then the Buddha dissolves into the mother, and she dissolves into the drop at her heart. And of kindness and affection and our sincere aspirations and wishes, that drop comes to the crown of our head and settles on the lotus and moon at our heart. And in this case, we can imagine the mantra, Buddha's mantra, because the essence of the Buddha is now in our heart. And that mantra is going around that drop, and we'll recite Shakyamuni's mantra. So. Taya ta om muni muni ma munaye soha. Taya ta om muni muni ma munaye soha. Taya ta Taya ta om muni muni ma munaye soha. Taya ta om muni muni ma munaye soha. Taya ta remembering that all appearances and experiences are like reflection in the mirror. They're just reflections arising in the mirror of our mind. Like the image of the moon on a still lake appears to exist, but in actual fact just arises in dependence upon the reflecting lake and the moon in the sky. Dependent arising. In the same way, thoughts, feelings appear in the mirror of the mind, in the lake of the mind, due to the dependent arising of our karmic external appearances, and the mirror of the mind, which is actually totally impartial, it's just mind reflecting appearances. And upon this appearance, because it appears to be truly existent, we label good, bad, and different, due to our past karmic experiences. So we make a strong intention, prayer, or affirmation, as they say in the New Age world, that I'm going to remember, especially now I have two more days here, two and a bit more days. I'm going to remind myself that these things appearing are like that reflection in a mirror. And even the mirror, my mind itself, is completely empty. There is mind. There are appearances. But they don't exist how they seem. May I remember that throughout the day, that there is an appearance my mind labels, and we can't do anything about the labeling effect of the mind. That's what the mind does. That's how we keep the species alive and save ourselves from the saber-toothed tigers and take care of our children and these things. But just because that's the mechanics of the human body doesn't mean it is how things actually appear. How things actually exist. We're just a bundle of six sense consciousnesses that are particularly peculiar to a human being. You know, a dog smells more, a cat sees more. There are many things that our senses do not perceive, like spirits. Doesn't mean they don't exist. But the main thing is that, the Lama Zopa says, is, you know, there's an appearance, there's a label. We can't do anything about the mind's labeling and the appearance, but what we can do is begin to train ourselves to not believe that how it appears is how it exists. He often says, just tell yourself, it's just like a dream. Just like a dream. This is just like a dream. When I wake up, in my next life, it will be just a dream. And so with this attitude, we're going to study and contemplate and meditate on the 7-point mind training by Geshe Chikawa. With a happy heart, because it's the way out. It's like, you know, the key to the prison. So, let's look at our text. And today we've graduated from preliminaries and we're training in the two bodhicittas. So let's read where it says under the A section. Training in conventional bodhicitta. Gather all blame into one. Meditate on the great kindness of all. Train alternately in giving and taking. Begin the sequence by taking from your own side. Mount these two upon the breath. The three objects, the three poisons, and the three virtuous roots are the beef instruction for the subsequent attainment. To remember this, train in every activity by words. So this is the teaching on Tonglen, you know, taking and giving. And so the first two lines are what we need to think about in great detail and over a long period of time. Because although it's very easy to understand intellectually, in the action time, very difficult to put that intellectual understanding into actual effect. So what is it? So someone tell me, what does it mean, gather all blame into one? Does anyone have an idea what that means? It's kind of cryptic, isn't it?
To recognize that's ultimately everything leads into one ignorance.
Yes. It's our I mean, it's kind of what, actually, if you think about it, even though it uses the word blame, and maybe we could find a better translation for that. You know, maybe we could have it as gather all disturbing experiences into one, I think might be better than blame. And the idea is then we spend quite a bit of time thinking about the disadvantages of having an ignorant mind that grasps first at inherent existence, but this one is more specifically talking about the relative of how we just, because we grasp at inherent existence, there's an I, you know? And I think there really is no blame if you think about evolution. We have to take care of ourselves. You know, it's just how the body is hardwired to take care of itself so that evolutionarily we will survive. I mean, if we didn't have, number one, thought me, human beings probably would have died out a long time ago. You know, all the saber-toothed tigers would have eaten them. So it's not like an inherently bad thing, you know. It's just that it's the source of trouble, you know, and in some cases it's good to you know, be thinking about yourself. You know, if you're about to drown or something, you definitely need to save yourself, or you know, and we definitely need to educate ourselves and have a good house, and you know, if we want to be in a relationship, have a healthy relationship. So it's not talking about that, you know. It's not saying that there's anything wrong with cherishing ourselves. We need to cherish ourselves. But the thing is, it's when we allow that to develop into delusional activity, jealousy, anger, too much desire, you know, criticism, judgment. Can help me list more. What happens? What happens? You know, what are some of the deluded...
Fear of losing what we have.
Yeah, what else? Fear.
Attachment.
Reputation.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Reputation. Yeah. Power. Right? You know? There must be more things we can think of, you know, that... So I think what I'd like to do here is... most of you have a pen and a paper, you know? So just take a minute. It doesn't have to be heavy-duty meditation, but just take a minute to think about your particular ways that when, you know, that your particular delusions that get in the way of your life. You know, it's good to make this personal. So just think about it for a minute, you know. You don't have to close your eyes or anything. But what was our particular pattern of deluded activity? You know, what are the ones that really get in the way, and buttons that get pushed. Pride, isn't it? We didn't mention pride. You know. What about fear of being vulnerable? You know, that's a big one, isn't it? You know, it's a form of pride. You know, we can't admit that we have a need or that we, you know.
Competitiveness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big one. It's kind of like jealousy, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Wanting to be get the best, you know. They always talk about, there's the pile of apples, you know. The immediate instinct is, oh, where's the best one? I want the best one. It just comes. Can't help it. You know, it's how we're genetically designed, you know. So it's nothing to feel bad about. It's just the understanding that human beings are not enlightened beings. And so if we want to go beyond the human realm, then we have to think about the disadvantages of the human, whatever we, you know, this thing, this body mind that we are, this human, what do you call it? I don't know, humanness. So just think, I'll just be quiet. Let's just think a little bit about our own stuff. I will too. What about vanity? I don't know, maybe that's not so bad. It's good to look nice for other people, I suppose, but if it goes to the extreme, you know, like having, you know, 100 pairs of shoes or something like that, you know. And then there's the negative, you know, like the low self-esteem ones and those things, you know. If it's okay, are you finished? You're not finished. It's okay. Yeah, so if it's okay with you guys, this is, like, you know, I'd like to just because it's people talk more if they're not in a big group. So maybe we could get into groups of three, you three, and you three, and you three, and you three, and just go somewhere for a little while. You can go in the different rooms, as somebody say, and just talk about it. I think it's helpful to share, you know, talk about these things, and then we'll come back and share. Is that okay? Do you mind doing that? Okay, let's take, I don't know, see how you go after 10 minutes.